Hey guys, it's Allie. Welcome to The Mind Paradox, where we will talk about why thoughts are only 10% of the work and discuss the science behind the other 90%. Get ready to meet the higher version of you. Hello everyone, thank you for being here. Today I'm not flying solo. I have a good friend of mine here, and let's welcome Jake Folk.
What up?
Thank you so much for being here. I'm really excited to have you on today.
I'm honored. Thank you.
This episode, just kind of going to dive in a little bit more into self-esteem, self-image, specifically on our growth and how we see ourselves internally, externally. And what a great way to have you here and really kind of open up the space to really talk about this. So
yeah, I'm down for it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm all about it.
Of course.
I was stoked when you texted me. We were going to go like body image, bodybuilding, anabolic steroids. I was like, oh, here we go. A deep one. Let's do it.
We're going in deep, y'all.
Yeah. Where do you want to start? There's, I mean, like I told you before, this kind of is broken down into stages throughout the 10 years of my life when I first started getting into bodybuilding and that whole self-image. So I'm very curious on where we want to start on this, because I feel like this podcast is going to go on forever if I go from the beginning.
Well, let's jump in. Most specifically, so the reason why I really wanted to have you in, it's been brought to my attention recently of like, what's the way of like seeing ourselves, the way that we project ourselves internally and externally, and being conscious of our self-esteem and image, because those two kind of link with each other, right? Mm-hmm. The way that we are wired to see our persona and see our self-image has a lot to do with our confidence and how we act and react with other people. Mm-hmm. And I think that also you being in this personal training and being, you know, involved with living for longevity and creating the mindfulness around what we eat, it has to do a lot of how we project ourselves, and not only that too, but like our physical body.
Yeah.
And so I think that's a great way to start, specifically of like, your mindfulness is completely different as mine, but seeing the path of what you created, the way that you look externally versus how you look internally. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I guess what you had brought to my mind when it comes to self-image, I didn't understand what self-image or self-esteem, body image, like I didn't know any of that until I was 20 years old. I mean, I shouldn't say that, but about 27, 28 years old, and come into light of the mindfulness in it. And something in particular that comes up for me when it comes to self-image is my sister, who struggled throughout most of her life with diabetes, drug abuse, self-image issues pertaining to, she was anorexic and bulimic. I remember it's kind of a weird story to tell, in the moment it was kind of like a, oh, what's going on? But then I'm a kid, so my attention span wasn't that wrong, right?
Right.
So I remember my sister, she was living in an apartment. I was probably, I don't know, 12, 13 years old, middle school. I got done with school. She'd come visit, whatever. She was living in an apartment, and I don't think she had that great of a job, so she'd probably come over for food. Anyway, she'd come over, eat, probably go to the bathroom, and I'd hear coughing. Well, knowing now what she was doing was she was putting her finger down the throat and puking up the food she just got done eating. And I didn't understand what that was doing. I didn't know, you know, what was wrong, or I didn't know particularly how deep that issue was until I got older. And everyone kind of figures that out when they're, you know, exiting middle school and getting into high school, of drug abuse, bulimia, anorexia, like how severe those things are. And so, and getting in through high school, it was, holy shit, you know, my sister's doing some pretty gnarly self-inflicting things onto herself, all pertaining off this whole self-image and why she didn't feel pretty, or her, she would always say she wasn't skinny enough. But fuck, there's one time I remember she got out of the hospital, because she was in the hospital like every like once every 2 months or so. So it's never, she didn't have a full year of not getting into the hospital. It's just because of her diabetes and how she treated herself, which just led to that. But it was so severe when she got out of the hospital. And when she kept on saying she wanted to lose weight, I'm like, how much fucking weight can, like, you have no fat on your body, and let alone no muscle. What do you want to lose? I don't understand. And so I remember when I liked understanding my own body composition when I started wrestling in high school. So I think I was always like a little bit of a bigger kid. I grew, my growth spurt hit in eighth grade to ninth grade. And I just grew taller, got a little bit more muscular. It was weird. It was cool, but it was weird.
Like, what is happening to my body?
Yeah, exactly. Like, what is this? The fuck? I like it, but
who am I?
What's going on? Like, my voice is deepening. You know, I feel like a man now. All right, cool. Let's get into high school.
The king of the world.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So when I went into high school, I was 195 pounds. Okay. Was it all muscle? No. But I was also probably like a couple inch taller, couple inches taller than the average dude that was in 10th grade.
You like stood out from everybody.
Yeah, and the coaches, fuck, football coach, wrestling coach, lacrosse coach, like, hey, gotta play. I was like, well, one, I don't feel comfortable around you when you're telling me to do something. But anyways, I fell into wrestling because Babbo, if anyone went to Jordan High School, they know Babbo. Babbo was...
I went to Alda, so...
Yeah, sorry for your loss on that one.
I'm a true hawk.
But he was really inspirational coach. He wanted, he thought everyone could wrestle, like literally everyone. A girl would go up to him, she weighed 80 pounds. He'd be like, yeah, you could wrestle. And she could, for sure. I've seen a couple women head throw a couple dudes, and it was badass. And that's kind of where I learned about hard training. The drills you do in wrestling and the amount of running you do in wrestling was my first workout high when I would just get lost and into that physical exertion. I loved it. I loved being in it. Did I like wrestling? No. I thought it was sneaky. It was gross. You wrestled dudes you didn't want to wrestle because they didn't shower.
It's like, is that really wrestling?
It was rough. But I love the physical exertion. I love being able to get done running and be like, can I breathe? Okay, yeah, I can breathe.
I got this.
Yeah, no, here we go. Here, we're about to start another sprint. Let's go. So that was kind of like my first high of physical exertion. And food still hasn't kind of made its way into my vision. Still eating regular like a kid, Chick-fil-A, burgers, go home. My parents have some meals. Like, cool, this is what it is. But I didn't have an understanding of micronutrients, macronutrients, you know, the connections between the body and the food. So I was kind of just doing what I was still doing, but I noticed I was getting leaner, you know, when you're a young boy and your abs start coming in when you're in high school.
They're
you're
showing
like, fuck yeah, let's get running. But I don't know.
Right.
And so... after high school, I remember, it was the beginning or the end, starting to finish high school, where I started ditching wrestling and ditching school to go work out at the gym.
Okay.
Because it was particular into the physical exertion of, you know, just beating yourself, running and running and running. I wanted to build more muscle. So that's kind of where I got into the hypertrophy training. As far as for anyone that's not really familiar with hypertrophy, it's you're looking at a higher to lower repetition with, you know, 4 to 5 sets. So particularly just on a singular muscle.
Right.
So if it's a shoulder press, you're doing that shoulder press exercise from 4, 8 to 10, 10 to 12 repetition. So you're really exhausting that muscle.
So really quick, when you kind of brought that up specifically, like you're in a repetition pattern, right? What was it like for you to like continue to do the exact same thing that it like you felt like it was just boring, or do you just feel like, oh, I'm
getting now
bigger?
No, I do now. That wasn't when I was doing that. I just noticed my muscle growth, and that's all I cared about. I just wanted to get bigger, wanted to have more defined muscles. And then you're looking at these magazines like Flex Magazine, Men's Living or Men's Health. What other bodybuilding? Muscular Development? Yeah, Muscular Development. Just all these bodybuilding photos and being naive to the thought that it didn't take steroids.
Yeah.
And
but
then
that was kind of like your reality, right? You were building that in your mind and said, hey, this is what I'm surrounding, therefore that's what I want to be. That was like what you were wiring your brain.
So wired.
So therefore, I think, and kind of going back a little bit too, is just like we see this image or we see this persona in front of us and we're like, I want to be like that. What does it take to be like that person, right? Whether it is like not eating or not having the right habits, because most of the time is like you don't think the way that it's just like, in order for someone to be skinny or fit, is been doing something different. You know, mm-hmm. I think everybody wants to be like the high end, like social media perform, or if like, I want to have those abs, stuff like that. But sometimes in our minds, the way that we're perceiving it is completely different. So that's why I think
definitely.
The environment that you created with that, for sure.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. It's about my environment that I created for myself. And towards the end of the high school, I started to say, okay, cool. Like, I'm looking into these magazines and it's talking about food. Cool. Like carbohydrates, proteins, and fats, you know, the three basic macronutrients. And then I was really getting into just measuring out my food, knowing that I wanted to go further, but didn't know how. Mm-hmm. After high school, I decided to go to Lincoln, Nebraska for school, really just to go somewhere where I don't know anyone, mm-hmm. Other than some of my family members, and go to a school just to crank out a degree. I didn't know what in. I knew I wanted to own a gym. Mm-hmm. The day I got into Nebraska, I got a job at a gym.
There you go.
Yeah. And so I did everything. I did, you know, child's care. I cleaned the weights. I did membership. I did personal training for like a small amount of it. That was towards the end of my stint in Nebraska. But that's kind of where my journey of bodybuilding took me. And I met a couple of individuals, one in particular, who set me up with a coach. Mm-hmm. And I think it was my second year, I decided to get into bodybuilding and setting a date to compete, mm-hmm. but knowing that I still wanted to be natural, it wasn't until later I discovered some people were taking anabolic steroids and I didn't know. Mm-hmm. I thought it was all, you know, it was natural.
Before you made the decision to jump into steroids and all of that specifically, what was like your transition of understanding like, oh, I want to do bodybuilding, like in your mind and your mental process? Was it just like, obviously, like your looks and the way that you feel, but there had to be something more that like that behavior that made you feel, oh, I want to compete?
Discipline.
There you go.
Very much so. I love discipline.
Mm-hmm.
So to continue off of that, Nebraska getting done, I moved back home, but I was still competing.
Okay.
And it was a big blow that year as well, losing my sister about a couple weeks out from my show. And so I still competed regardless, but that's where that discipline, I think, didn't blind me, but it had blinders on to the point where I can't focus on anything else but what I'm doing, because everything else that's going on is fucking chaotic. And I just lost my sister. I'm probably not handling it the way I probably should. I'm not as emotional as I should feel. I don't feel at a loss as much as I should feel, because her and I's relationship was, you know, she was always in and out of the hospital doing drugs, not treating her body well, hanging out with dumb fucks. And I didn't want any part of that. And I think her and I's relationship struggled in that.
Mm-hmm.
But it also taught me who to be around and who I wanted to be around in my life. But besides the fact, I competed and I knew after competing I wanted to do steroids. It was before then, when my coach had mentioned it, and I was still a naive little boy, when I asked him if he does, you know, gear was the proper term. It was, do you do to gear?
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, yeah, that's a given. And to find out in my competition that some individuals had taken gear prior, maybe a couple of years prior to competing, because people do that, which is weird to me. That's so much of your time, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they can't compete when they still have steroids in your system. And they, depending on how long you've been doing them, I mean, they can stay up to your system for almost a little over a year. So the person that had won on that bodybuilding competition, he was close to 40. And yeah, I can definitely tell. Well, the thing is I was, what, 20 years old. I'm still 20, so I was about to turn 21.
Mm-hmm.
20 versus a dude that's 35. That's, you know, 15 years of muscle maturity. So I didn't really understand muscle maturity until I got older and my muscles started getting more dense because of the workouts that I was doing, you know, strengthening them a lot. Mm-hmm. And that's where I was like, oh, that's what they meant by muscle maturity. And it comes a lot with age. People don't realize. So when you have young individual who's inspiring to get into it, and they're just like, I just want to get that grainy looking feel, the muscular feel, you probably aren't going to get it until you get older.
Right.
But after I competed, I had a job that paid really, really well. And I was still living at home, didn't have any bills, didn't have nothing. Mm. And next thing I know, I have $3,000 in my, you know, checking every 2 weeks, which was weird. So steroids were no issue of affording them.
Okay.
That's where I got into them. I remember purchasing testosterone, and it was called Equipos. Called them EQ, and you know, ordering your syringes, the syringes that you had to draw out was a 19 gauge, and then you injected with like a 24 to 25 gauge, or I could be wrong, 22, 23, I don't know. And then finding the different, you know, quadrants in your ass to make sure you don't, you know, stick it in a nerve, right? Mm-hmm. So you have to stick it into the outer upper right quadrant of your ass. Mm. And then understanding that, oh, I can inject it in my leg if it's an upper quadrant of my quad. So it was kind of a very surreal moment when I'm looking up how to inject steroids into me.
What was like in your state of mind when you were going
fucking
through
scared.
All these?
Scared.
Like, what was that feeling? Like, I think there's probably so many emotions present in you. Like, what was that feeling specifically?
Shit. I just remember thinking to myself, like, this is it. This is, I'm getting into a lifestyle.
Yeah.
And I don't really know what to think of it. That's just how I'm going to go about it until something definite comes out of it. Right.
Did you ever thought in your mind that that was like what it's going to be like for the rest of your life?
Yes.
Really?
I was so hardened on the thought of taking steroids for the rest of my life.
Really?
I had no problem expressing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was just kind of one of the things that is like, this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life now. Mm-hmm. Was it like, what was that feeling in like your state of mind, like knowing that you're going to be attached, because you're creating attachment to like, you know, the syringes and going through this and putting them into your body. Like, what was that like?
During?
Because you're creating an attachment.
Yeah. I didn't care. Mm. I didn't understand what the attachment was. Mm-hmm. I just knew I was going to do something that it was unconventional.
Right.
I like doing unconventional things. I liked being the unconventional individual in the room. That's what, you know, after 4 years of taking steroids, yeah, I got up to 230 pounds with the 8 to 10% body fat. So I was relatively lean at that weight, as well as putting up some numbers on the squats, the bench, the curl, whatever it was.
It was just more like the ego boost, right?
It was an ego boost.
Like the more that
if we're going to define it by a state of mind, it's ego. Just 100%. I wanted to stand out in a room. When I walked in a room, I wanted people to turn their heads. Mm-hmm. And that's, it eventually turned into that because I was wearing 2XL shirts and kind of filling them out with my shoulders, my back's poking out, my arms are taking up the sleeves. It was a surreal moment, but I still love that feeling of filling all those 2XL shirts. It's fucking cool.
Like, what's ripped?
Uh-huh. And I remember finding these pants that my waist would fit, because my waist was still like a 32-33 inch waist.
Yeah.
But I'm 230 pounds, my ass is sticking out, and it's my legs, my quads, my hamstrings, my calves.
Everything.
I can't put my freaking legs into pants. Like, it's just not happening because my legs and my ass will fit, but then it's not going around my waist. So I mean, it was weird trying to find clothes.
Yeah.
But it was egotistical to
think. Did you ever imagine like doing, like getting to that point of your body without using the steroids?
Oh, there's no way.
Okay.
Yeah. You won't be able to do it. Solely on genetics.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're staring at someone in Flex Magazine or Muscular Development, they're on steroids. They're on, and I don't even want to say steroids, but they might be on some type of testosterone hormone replacement.
Okay.
And I don't want to bash steroids just in general.
Right.
Because there's, I mean, in the medical field, they use steroids.
Like, right.
If you got a fire burn injury, they're going to use steroids to replenish the cells within those. So I'm speaking solely for myself.
Right.
But I interacted, or I didn't interact, but I experienced a lot of deaths within those 4 years, just close family. And that made me stick there. I just wanted to do steroids because it was a blinder. Working out 2 to 2.5 hours out of the day, you know, having my meals on point. I was eating 6 meals a day every 2.5 to 3 hours. So I had to make sure my food was prepped. Mm-hmm. Had to make sure that I was weighing out my food as well, getting the meals prepped as well. I'd go out sometimes and drink with the boys, but it was very solidarity type style lifestyle. And I didn't really have any love for anyone else other than myself.
Hmm.
So, I mean, I did. Like, I loved my parents and everything. Like, I loved my friends, but I didn't care about them.
But it became about you and who you are. So everything that you were seeing from your point of view, it was like, how does this benefit me?
Yeah. Right? And I haven't reflected on that until I was 27, 28 years old, where I'm understanding what kind of person I was to my family, to myself, to my friends, to my lifestyle. But when you're in that lifestyle of taking steroids, you find like-minded individuals.
Right.
But were they where I was at that moment? No. Mm-hmm. I was solely on the fact of just wanting to be the most unconventional human being and standing out in a room.
Like everything that you were focusing at the time, that's what it was being projected into it.
Yep. Mm. 100%.
Yeah. And that's crazy to think, because like most of the things, when we focus on what we want, we start attracting those things and we start focusing our mind to get to that point, you know? And I think that also goes into the mindfulness of, you're not mindfulness. You understand like, oh, I'm transforming my body to be who I want to be. Doesn't matter what it takes to get there.
Yeah. Right? I mean, when you say it like that, it's empowering to hear, right? Because I basically envision what I want and I got it.
Yeah, exactly. In this case, like specifically when you're talking about the mind, a lot of people are like, you got to focus on what you want. You got to do this in a way and, you know, never give up and blah, 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 blah. But it goes more back into the consciousness of being mindful about it.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you get there? It's like, is it actually really a healthy lifestyle for me to get there? Mm-hmm. You know, like I remember when I got sick and I couldn't work out because it hurt so much. Right. Like I went from like being size 0, size 1 and being skinny and fit because I worked out and I did basketball and soccer, you know, and all of a sudden getting sick out of the nowhere and being bloated. And every time I worked out, it just hurt. And it just, my body was just like in shock. And my body transitioned so well, like incredibly fast from going to being fit and skinny to just like not all of a sudden fit on like my size 0 jeans, right? Or my size 2 jeans or 4, which whatever it was. And I saw that to me was just like, well, shit, like now I'm not who I used to be. And I saw my body transition and it took a toll on me at that point. Because it's just like, I didn't feel like I was like pretty enough. I didn't feel like I was attractive enough. And like all these like thoughts after thoughts started piling up because I'm like, I couldn't express my way of like, I'm accepting myself the way that I am. And I think in this way, you know, you're building your body and you're transforming your body to accept yourself, to kind of blind yourself from everybody, from everything else that's going around, but you're also accepting yourself. And so for me, it was the exact same thing. It's like, I need to figure out really what's happening in my internal body, because my external body is not, it's representing everything that's going on inside of me.
Yeah, right? Most definitely.
Exactly.
I think that you brought that up, it was an excellent point as far as the internal and the external. Where I was of taking steroids and being that egotistical person that I was, a little vain as well, I enjoyed it. I thought it would bring me, you know, girlfriends. I thought it would bring me more friends. I thought it would bring me more, I mean, in some aspects, sex, because it was that masculinity side of it, right? I didn't have any of that. I mean, I had some sex, but I didn't have a girlfriend the whole time. I didn't have those things.
The connection.
I didn't have the connection. Mm-hmm. And so what did I do? I switched that money a little bit to a truck. I decided to get a truck, and I thought that was pretty fucking cool. Put a lift on it, tires, wheels, make it look pretty. Again, this is going to help people think this of me.
Tool.
Right?
Tool bag.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But I think the only person I was the biggest tool to was myself. The biggest egotistical asshole that I was to myself. It's not like I didn't like the tool bags in the way of being them bullying on any other people. I never had that. I didn't like, maybe when I was in elementary school, you know, he picked on some people and pushed some people out of Foursquare, but that was about it.
Yeah.
But when I was that older, got older, I didn't like confrontation to the point where I didn't want to, you know, what I was doing with myself wasn't for anyone else to be reacting to them or pushing anything onto them. It was solely in my head that I was this way, and because I wanted to be that way.
Yeah.
I didn't really give a shit what anyone else thought about me. I didn't really care as far as what I was doing with my body. Mm-hmm. I didn't care, but I did, because I was doing some things now, like the truck, the steroids, my perception of myself and what I was going through. Mm-hmm. No, I definitely cared what other individuals thought.
Yeah.
But where I was at that time,
you care for the external rather than the internal.
Yeah, right? Exactly. So that's kind of where I was as far as that state of mind.
Yeah. And it's a huge interesting to understand, like, the difference between, like, everybody's like, well, I want to feel more confident and I want to bring my self-esteem. Right. But what does that take internally?
Well, I'm going to stop you there, because I want to lift off, like, the words that brought me there when you asked me, what was your state of mind like when you were on anabolic steroids? And this is tons of word, but it's self-centered, egotistical, vain, disconnected, but also disciplined, resilient, confident, fierce, self-educating, meaning that I was understanding macros, learning muscle and skeletal systems, and then simple nutrition, right? Proteins, fats, and carbs.
Right. Okay.
And then also emotional, neglect, resentful, depression, regret, mainly on how I treated my family. So for anyone that can take away any of those words, like, they've most likely felt those, right?
Yeah.
So for me, it was just doing something and feeling a lot of emotions that others were feeling as well. Mm-hmm. But it was different because it was for me.
Yeah.
And that's, again, not wanting to bash on anabolic steroids. It's particular to the individual taking them. Why are you taking them? Why are you doing that? What's the purpose? Oh, it's for an athletic performance. Cool. When is that lined up? Mm-hmm. When are you going to go on your run? Or when is your lift? If you don't have that planned, you probably should be taking steroids, because you're going to get caught wanting to take them because it feels fucking good. Because it does. It gives you energy. It gives you strength, endurance, libido, like, all of it.
Did you ever thought that you could achieve that state of mind without using the steroids? Like, you can rebuild that state of mind, like, going back to that state of mind without using it, creating that state of mind.
That analogy came up when I moved to San Diego and met some pretty profound individuals. One, couldn't afford steroids anymore. Mm-hmm. I was now in one of the most expensive cities.
Right.
Food was still a very important part of my life, so I wasn't willing to give up food. As far as the nutrition went and what kind of food I was consuming, but steroids, like, I didn't have money for them. Hmm. What am I going to do? But I also met some individuals who showed me now, like, when we talk about the concentric and eccentric movements of hypertrophy and what I was doing in that exercise realm, that's so goddamn boring to me nowadays. Mm-hmm. I can't handle it. I can't sit there and curl. Like, it is the most boring thing ever.
Right.
Not bashing it, because I do like to go in a couple times a month and get a bro pump. That's just what it is. But I'm accepting of that. Like, there's multiple ways of getting exercise and feeling good. And if that makes you feel good, then good, do it for, an hour, call it good. But what was your question again?
The achieving the state of mind without.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Yes. Yeah. So I met an individual his name was Marlon, and he basically kept on repeating the words, I want to be as fast and strong as possible, as old as I get. Like, that's just what it comes down to, without using anything and being okay with that. And he helped me realize a lot of that state of mind that I was in. Although he didn't understand what state of mind I was in, he explained everything that was that was pertaining to my life. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was kind of interesting. And how everything connected. I loved being around him. He taught me a different way of exercising, mobility, flexibility, functional strength, on how to do some things. And that just continued into another, journey of meeting individuals that was more along the lines of functional bodybuilding. And I loved it. I loved being able to challenge my body when it came to, like the Olympic snatch. I love the Olympic snatch. It's one of my favorite exercises to do. Mm-hmm. It's not very exerting, but it's very mental. Mm-hmm. When you want to toss 135 pounds above your head and catch it in a squat position, an overhead squat. So it's very fascinating to me now to challenge my body in that kind of aspect. But going back to that transition in San Diego, it humbled me.
Yeah.
It gave me a look into how to live my life differently.
So you had like the mind shift. You had the
transition. It was the mind shift, like, is what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Marlon is a very conscious individual. Mm-hmm. He's very spiritual when it comes to his training and as far as meditation and mm-hmm. how he's going to treat everyone else. There's still a moment in my head where I was also working for another gym out in San Diego for a second job, and mm-hmm. they throw these parties, Christmas parties, every year at Omnia. Remember walking into his office. I'm like, what's up, Marlon? How's it going? You ready for this party? Gonna get some girls' numbers? Like, we're gonna go down there and party. He's like, nah, man, I have a youth's basketball game. Fuck me up.
You're like, what?
This dude is 33 years old at the time, probably looks 28. Looks like he likes having a good time and like going out, but he was there for a bigger purpose. Like, his that just spoke to me so well. Like, you're just a good human being. Like, sure, yeah, he could still go out and we can go get a drink or whatnot, but he that's just not who he is.
Right.
So it really humbled me to understand that there's a different way of going about this whole fitness aspect. And that's came back from San Diego, and that's what I've liked to be, you know, in that. And I also met a great friend of mine, Anna Anario. I can't pronounce her last name. I feel bad every time. But she's a nutritionist. I've had her on my podcast a couple times, but she opened my eyes as far as food's food. Food also has these micronutrients, and there's multiple micronutrients we don't even know about yet. So, but understanding some micronutrients in food can help our state of mind. And that hit me also across the face of understanding, like, oh, I don't have to have rice, chicken, and broccoli.
I can eat more things.
I can have bread. What?
Bread is good for you.
Oh, my goodness. Cool. So gnarly. I've been living my life for the last 5 years with just chicken, rice, broccoli.
I'm so sorry for you.
Whew. I mean, but it helped me. I mean, I don't eat nearly as much. I rarely ever have chicken just because there's nothing in it anymore. But
right.
No, yeah. It's that whole just transition of life and being able to recognize, you know, what kind of state of mind you're in now. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the people that you surround yourself with,
right.
Figure out their state of mind. Like, where are they coming from? Mm-hmm. And it might help you go on a better path to, you know, self-acceptance, self-love, and mindfulness of others, having empathy for others. Mm-hmm. It's a growing process. It's not like you flip a switch and it just comes on. It's definitely a growing process.
Oh, absolutely. I 100% agree with, I agree with you.
It's the day we die.
I experienced that. I've been in that situation where I saw myself, like, I was working so hard on my internal representation of who I was, right? Like, my mentality, like, meditation, and, like, really dive in into, like, how do I want to be perceived in the interior, that I left out the external after. Like, after I was just, like, not focusing because I was in this mindset of, like, I want to heal myself internally without any medication or anything like that. I know that I can reach that state of mind, that I can heal myself internally with everything that I put in my mind, everything that I eat, what I do, but I did lack of the physical aspect of what I looked externally. And that affected me in certain areas of my life, but it's the same thing. It was like the aspect of coming back of, how do I see myself? How do I perceive myself externally in the people that I surrounded with? Because once I started having that relationship with food and relationship with myself, the biggest one that I understood was also like drinking water. And like, I mean, I just don't drink alcohol as much, or I don't actually. I mean, wine once in a while. But like being able to see how my body reacted from what I ate and what I not ate made a huge impact, right?
It's a fucking mind blow when you figure out some foods can make you think this, or it gives you,
oh yeah.
And for example, irritability. Like, let's just say something that upsets your gut a little bit. You think you're just on some cranky ass mood, but.
But it's like, no, are you sure?
Well, to your point, like if you eat to this way where you are conscious of the things that you're taking in and how you feel, when you do say, fuck it, like I'm going to have something just because I want to fulfill something like that. I'm going to have French fries or burger, or, you know, fuck, I'm going to have some Cheez-Its, whatever it is. The next day, I have gas. my stomach hurts.
Yeah.
It feels like someone's holding a lighter at the bottom of my stomach, and I can just feel it go up my esophagus. Mm. And I'm cranky. I'm more irritable. I'm less tolerant of others. And so that's, to me, was the biggest shift of understanding what I put in my body is a direct reflection of how I treat others and how I treat my body after the fact. So, yeah.
Yeah. No, and I think that's a huge point to really understand more as us as human beings. Like, everything is going to be different, and everything is going to create a different aspect of who you are. More or less, like, for me, when I started to understand more of how do I want to be that self, not self-image, but like the confidence and understanding, I'm like, I know what's internal for me. Because most of the time, like a while back, a couple of years ago, I really got into the point of like, I was judged by the way that I looked, right? Like, oh, you have everything, you're perfect, blah, 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 blah. But your body, it's not where, what I want, you know, or my, and to me, it was like, is that my projection or is that what I'm at cost for, right? Because it's like, I know that I have everything aligned. And I felt like that egotistic too as well, that I'm like, well, excuse me, like I went to school and I did this and blah, 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 blah. And I wasn't doing other stuff that people are doing at, well, no, 25 or 26. You know, I was focusing more of like, I was volunteering, I was going to school, I was working full time. And like all sorts of stuff, like I was just aligning what I wanted to do, that it came back and we're like, well, like your body's not perfect or this and this and that. And it was just more of like, is that what I'm projecting into the world? Is this not me? And it goes back to more of like that self-esteem and that image of, okay, am I okay with people seeing me like that? Or I know what I eat and I know how I see myself internally. That's a huge aspect that has to do with out in the real world. And I'm sure it goes back to you where you're like doing, you know, steroids and working out at the gym. It gave you a different perspective of how people saw you.
Yeah, and it was never enough still. Mm-hmm. Like, for individuals wanting to, you know, get their body in a specific shape or form, when you get to there, you're not going to be satisfied. You're not going to recognize when you hit it because you're going to be so distracted on what you want to do further. Mm-hmm. And so to those, I want to say, feel grateful for just even putting in the work.
Right.
One, not many people can do it. And two, what you have in your head isn't going to be the reality of what you're gonna, like, like I said, just feel grateful about getting up, going to work out, and, you know, eating good food to, you know, help your body, right? But as far as when it comes down to specifics, like, oh, I want my arms to be this many inches, I want my shoulders to kind of cut in a little bit, I want my chest to kind of spread out, I want to see the striations, or I want my abs, the love handles kind of come down, my legs, my quads. Like, I remember picking everything apart. When I was bodybuilding, you're taking pictures every week and you're flexing and you're doing these certain poses that you would do on stage. And I would sit and look in photos and kind of like, all right, well, I need to grow my calves a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, I need to pop on some, you know, my traps or, you know, my lats. Let's create more width. Let's create more. My legs, like, let's just, it's just, you're just picking yourself apart, and that's not healthy, because it has never been something we've ever looked at as health, right?
Right.
I mean, to speak a couple hundred years ago or 300 years ago, like, you didn't have time to pick yourself apart. You didn't have time to have some self-esteem issues, right? Like, you have bigger issues, famine. Like, you either get food or you die.
Yeah.
Right? You had to provide for your family. Or if you're going to get sick, like the Spanish flu. Like, you didn't give a fuck. So where is this? Why do we come into this now so easy lifestyle to now we pick ourselves apart?
Yeah.
It's fucking ridiculous, because we didn't always used to do this.
One of my favorite ones that I've noticed, a lot of people are like, if you're not fit, you're not healthy.
Yeah. Like, you could be fit, fat too.
Yeah, it's like, when did you decide that, right? Because it's one of those things that I've heard a lot of people that are like, well, like, I want to be with someone that is fit. It's like, well, what about health? Because health and fit go with each other in that aspect. But it's like, just because you're not fit does not mean that you're not healthy.
Oh, for sure. I mean, there's a couple of my friends that are super skinny and jacked, but they also have SIBO.
Right.
There's a ton of friends that I have that are, you know, ripped, but have they're diabetic. Like, mm-hmm. it doesn't, your body composition isn't predicated off your health.
Right.
That's number one thing that for people, like, just because they have a six pack doesn't mean they're dying healthy. From heart disease.
Right.
Because of their food that they take in is just straight sugar and processed foods.
And I think that's a good point to really understand and be like mindfulness of like what they're going through externally does yes. not mean that that's exactly where they're at. And I think that has to do a lot of with the state of mind of what we're creating, right? Because right now it's like, yeah, you could be healthy, but your external representation may be completely different.
Let's take someone with money.
Exactly.
Someone that has money.
Exactly.
They have problems? No, they don't. No, they fucking do. They right. do have the same issues that you and I do.
Mm-hmm.
It's mental issues.
Exactly. Right?
And so it's the same thing with anyone that has like a perfect doesn't resonate with me, but mm-hmm. like having the body that you would desire,
mm-hmm.
they could be a serial killer. Like mm-hmm. you don't know. Just exactly. Just start telling yourself you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes together when you can tell yourself that and be humble. I'm like, well, I don't know what they're going through,
mm-hmm.
but they have a body that like I'd like to desire. So, I mean, yeah, focus on that. Like how you want to bring that into your life, but
yeah.
don't look at it and be like, they have it figured out.
Yeah.
Because most likely they don't.
Yeah. And it goes along the way too of like the things that you're creating and things that you want, right? Like specifically for, okay, like I want my body to look this way and, or I want to feel this way. I think most of like mind is connected to the sensations and the feelings and everything that we're processing internally. What is that feeling like? What would that feel like, sound like when you have that body? Like what will happen if you have that body, or what wouldn't happen if you don't? Because most of the time we're just focusing of like, I want to look like this person, or I want to see myself like this person.
Yeah.
But it's like, what is that going to do to you?
Why don't you look like your person?
Right. Like what would you gain or lose when mm-hmm. that happened to you? And I think I remember talking to one of my clients about this. She brought up a good point. She's like, well, I want to create like my soulmate, right? Mm. I want to attract that person to my life. It's like, do you know what you want in that person? Well, I kind of have an idea, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, okay, the idea, that's a start point. But obviously it's your projection at the end of the day. Like what you see inside is going to project into that person that you're attracting.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want that person to be in the same realm of like mind state, where's your mind state at?
Yeah.
Or like your physical level, where is your physical level at? Because then that's going to be, you know, the whole path of like attracts like, but you're always supporting in the way to create that realm and bring the things that you guys want.
Co-creation.
Exactly. And being able to create more for, it starts within you first so that you can achieve what you want and create that mind in a different perspective, in a different level. Her mind was just like, oh my gosh, I never considered that. Because I always thought that it was the whole thing of like, oh, I'm just dating like this stand-up random guys and not the same person and blah, 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 blah. And I was like, well, what do you want? Because if it's not aligned with the things that you're focusing on, then it's not going to go in.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it also falls down into at that point in your life, it was a line of having muscles and, you know, having that band-aid of I want to be the best. I want to be mm-hmm. jacked up. And it goes back to just like, well, if you want to have that self-esteem, if you want to have that boost of self-esteem, you can achieve that, but you need to create that internally first.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I completely agree. And back to what you were saying about what are you going to do when you do have that perfect body?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's going to be next?
Mm-hmm.
And there's always a next.
Oh, yeah.
But asking yourself that question, like, okay, I want $1 million. What are you going to do when you have that $1 million?
Mm-hmm.
Be specific. Mm-hmm. Be very specific in what you want internally and externally. And for myself now, just speaking now, I just want to remain, health.
Mm-hmm.
I like to be athletic.
Yeah.
Athleticism to me is more than just, you know, running or being able to work out properly. It's my mental health.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I didn't have exercise or athleticism, I'd probably, you know, I'd be anxiety ridden, which I have kind of discovered through like this whole unraveling of podcasting and dipping into my own self image and exercise. If I didn't have exercise, I would definitely have anxiety. And then through Jeff Gregson, who I had on my podcast talking, and I wanted to dive in on, you know, potentially individuals having anxiety
mm-hmm.
and what brings up anxiety for them. Cause I don't experience a lot of anxiety in through my life. And mm-hmm. there was one friend of mine, CJ Fishburne, who's a tattoo artist I'm really, really connected to, who just said it pretty blatantly, just yeah, your exercise mitigates your anxiety. Mm-hmm. And to the point, I've always known that just because I love physical exertion, present moment while I'm being there. Mm-hmm. But I never realized how much it helped my anxiety. Mm-hmm. So when you hear people say like, yeah, one of the benefits of exercise is it helps with anxiety and depression. It sounds so generic and cheesy, mm-hmm. But it fucking is. It fucking works when you push yourself to a physical exertion. And this, I like to play it back to hunters and gatherers, mm-hmm. okay? Ever since we were hunters and gatherers, we were always looking to create less stress on our bodies, mm-hmm. right? So we switched to farming so we could always have food on hand.
Right.
Cool. Well, farming's fucking hard. We wanted to create less stress on ourselves. Farming, what do? Industrial Revolution. Mm-hmm. Now we're at the point where we don't even have to exercise, and exercise is being explained to help mental health.
Yeah.
It is the most, it's like we did a full circle where we were hunters and gatherers, mm-hmm. to the point where we don't worry about depression. We don't worry about our life's purpose, yeah. or success. Maybe to a little bit, like what's beyond, yeah. our cave. I don't know. But as far as physical stress, you needed to kill an animal. You had to drag that animal back. Like they weighed, I don't know how much they weighed back then, but an elk weighs upwards of a couple thousand pounds, a big one. I mean, I'm not too sure, but you got to pack that out. Mm-hmm. Fucking hard. And so I think we're missing out on physical exertion to the point where, mm-hmm. it was always a staple in our daily lives. Now it, mm-hmm. has to be a daily staple in our, right. lives to remain sane.
Mm-hmm. Well, and yeah. the thing is like too, like anxiety is developed when we don't have the physical thing right in front of us. Mm. That's the reason why studying anxiety and being in the field of anxiety and depression and studying neuroscience and how they wire with each other has been known that, so I used to work in an MRI facility. Mm. I don't know if you knew that. Mm. I don't know if I share with you guys, but I used to work in an MRI facility. And when I understood fMRI, I was able to know more specifically of how everything deeply goes into each other, right?
That's cool, yeah.
So that's why also when I fell in love with like studying the brain, like the fMRI and seeing the images and reading the readings and understanding, I'm like, this is fascinating.
Yeah.
But there was a particular one when I was talking to Dr. Berg. If you're listening to this, shout out to you. You taught me this. He taught me, he's like, the way that we think about anxiety, it lights up on our right frontal lobe. Mm-hmm. There's a little bit of a, you can see like the images, red, blue, yellow. Yellow, it's because we're creating something that is not there. So we're creating this anxiety because it's not physically there, right? Mm. And thinking back specifically of where does this anxiety come from? What was the point of, you know, where did that started? It's like your body's like, are you not controlling it because you're not here? You don't want it, right? And it goes back to more of, well, I mean, people need to gather food and have that. I'm pretty sure anxiety was presented in a way that it was just like, how do I get food? But it bring into the, I need this now. Mm. This is what I need to understand now. This is what I got to eat now. So you just push back all of those feelings and push back all of those emotions because you're acting in the now. You're bringing that in the now. You're not thinking of the future. You're not thinking of what's out there. You're focusing on the now so that you can take the action. And I think that's where a lot of us really detach from, mm-hmm. because we're thinking of when I look like this, or when I have this, or when I achieve this, rather than like, well, why not now, right? Like, yeah. for me right now, I'm like, my self-acceptance, I'm like the happiest I've ever been. I dropped the idea of what others wanted me to be like and others wanted me to see like, because I understood, I'm like, I'm healthy in a way that I know what my body is. Mm. I know what I'm processing. Yes, I'm working out. Yes, I'm meditating. Yes, I'm adding all these things that are helping me achieve the state of mind that I want and the, you know, all those creations. But you create that state of mind that will easily and effortlessly guide you towards the things that you want to create that. Because now we're in this whole like new world of, what's your purpose and what am I here for? What am I supposed to do? It's like, then now it's now. We're creating, the future we're creating is now, right?
Yeah.
That's the action that we're taking. And it goes more into the psychological way. When we stress out our muscles, when we stress out our mindset, it creates diseases. It creates all of these things that are behind, right? Creates the anxiety, the panic attack of like, oh, I'm not there. I don't have it. You're stressing the muscle and the muscle is producing that. So therefore, you're creating your projection. You're creating your state of world, your own reality.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we can go to the one particular moment. I remember traveling was extremely difficult taking steroids because mm-hmm. I was so disciplined on taking my shots on a correct day. Mm-hmm. But if I was gone during that day, an immense amount of anxiety came about mm-hmm. me. So I was creating that world.
Mm-hmm.
No, I like that you said that because I'm resonating on that. Like there was no one else, anyone around me, like they didn't have anxiety. I was the anxiety ridden one.
Mm-hmm.
I was the one creating this hellish of a world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it goes so well into that, like what you're creating when you're surrounding, that's your environment. That's what's all around us. And we have been trained to blame the external world for everything that is happening, right? Like, oh, like this person did this to me rather than like, but really what was happening? What's the behavior? What's the external representation of what's happening inside, right?
Yeah.
Like a lot of people are like alcohol. What is that a behavior of? What's that representation of? You're hiding something that you're not about to think about it. You're just, oh, I'm just going to have some alcohol because it easing up my time. Or...
Well, I think it kind of depends on like the reasoning that you are going to get that alcohol, right? Like if you're with your friends and you want to, you know, have a good time and you're not fucking raging, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It's okay to polish off a bottle of Moscato. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it goes down more of like, when you attach it into the addiction, right?
Yeah, if you come home after work and you're just in a dark spot and you start picking up the bottle, it's a different story.
Right. Those are two different balances. Yeah. And that's the two different flexibility of finding, am I having this to have a good time or am I having this because I'm suppressing an emotion?
Yeah, definitely. I've suppressed a lot of moments with marijuana too, just because, you know, back to the whole getting off of work. Sometimes I don't want to deal with
mm-hmm.
what I have to do with when I get home. So let's just smoke some weed and feel good because it does make me feel good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And anyone that knows me, I'm a pretty avid smoker. But I do, for anyone that does know me, they know me as far as where my boundaries are. And if I'm not in a headspace to smoke, I'm not going to smoke. It's a personal decision. And I know that sometimes I look towards it to ignore some things. Because we all have those tendencies. Yeah.
You brought the good point to having those boundaries. Mm-hmm. And that goes to your mental state of boundaries, right? I think for all the stuff that out there, I can speak. For all the stuff out there, you start thinking more specifically of my boundaries. Why do I allow myself to? It's like, is this my reality? Like, those are the mental boundaries that we need to really understand specifically that will allow us to really say, hey, I want to create this. I want to look like this. I want to feel like this, right? Is this person make me feel like this? Or it's what I'm watching or what I'm reading making me feel like this? Those are the boundaries that we really need to dive in specifically and really surround our environment with specifically for that.
Love it.
There you go. See, I'm just like telling you about the boundaries now.
Yeah, no. I'm vibing what you're putting down, yeah.
But I think, I mean, for me, when I understood that too, when you understand the boundaries and you understand who you are and you're creating your sense of there's so much out there, like if you're going to a life crisis and all of a sudden you're suppressing their emotions and you're just like, I need to figure out a way of what really my self-esteem is and what my confidence is. Once you really gather that learning of me as a person, it brings so much wisdom and and you're much wiser. In your case, you had that transition of your understanding that your relationship with food, and because your body changed when you started doing different type of workouts and eating differently, did it not?
It always does. And I don't eat the same for too long.
Mm-hmm.
It's always something new. When individuals ask me, like, are you vegan? Have you seen that one Netflix documentary? I'm like, no. Like, I don't like leaning too far one way. It's just fucking food, folks. Like,
right.
We need to treat food as food, not food does this, food does this. Like, it's because it doesn't. It's we make it do that.
Mm-hmm.
We make it seem like it's part of a keto diet. We make it seem like it's part of a paleo diet. We make it seem like it's part of a carnivore diet. Like, it's just fucking food. And there are foods that work and do not work for you.
Mm-hmm.
If there's, it's so funny when I see companies advertising no gluten. It's like, do you know, they don't people, do you realize how long gluten has existed? Mm-hmm. It has been around ever since they started making bread. Like, it's mm-hmm. just what it is. But there are people who are intolerant to yeah. it. That is the whole fact of lactose intolerant. If you mm-hmm. cannot process lactose, mm-hmm. you are intolerant. If you cannot eat a peanut, you have an allergy. It's called an intolerance. Mm-hmm. So finding the right foods for you to help you feel good day in and day out, mm-hmm. it doesn't matter what it's called. It's because yeah. it's still food.
It's like being mindful of what you eat and that, like, what you eat and what you process and that relationship with food specifically. Like, I grew up in the environment where food was very important to us. And so for me, from a very young age, I've always been known, like, what the importance of food is. Hmm. Which, you bring a good point. You're coming out with another ebook, right? Down in October, is that correct?
I'm going to work on it in October. Okay. As far as, like, getting it done. Okay. Probably, like, in the new year.
But you already have one. You already have an ebook.
Yes. Prior to this. Yeah, I do.
And tell me a little bit more about it, because I really want people to really listen of really your purpose of having this ebook out and really understanding your relationship yeah. with food.
Yeah. I mean, it's all food, and I like, it's a shake, salads, and some entrees and whatnot. Mm. But those are all things that I like to eat. Like, sometimes I like to get a shake in for the day, so I'll mix in about 4 to 5 ingredients on that one. Mm. And then for as far as salads, like, there's numerous things you can do with salad. So,
oh, yeah.
And then as far as entrees, that entree was just gave me a chance to be creative with some food, smell some spices, smell some herbs, you know, go online occasionally to figure some stuff out, like where the narrative, like the context of what I want to cook, mm-hmm. and messing around with the ingredients myself, right? Mm-hmm. I think cooking is a lost art, because when I think of a world crisis, and it's kind of dark, but if shit hits a fan and your dollar doesn't mean anything, what are you going to do for food mm-hmm. when you can't go to, well, it's just, I mean, McDonald's or, you know, the local shop of deli or the deli down the street, like, you won't be able to buy anything. So what are you going to do? And there is such thing as a food desert. Mm. Cool. There's no food. You can't buy any food. What are you going to do? Mm. That's it's a very scary thought, but I think it's very realistic, because we get so caught up in the structure that we live in, like, it's going to last forever. But,
yeah.
I loved getting into gardening. It's not a lot. Like, mm-hmm. I grow maybe 3 or 4 zucchinis every 2 to 3 weeks. Like, fuck, I can eat a zucchini in a day.
Yeah.
How do you ration this? How do you figure out your food and what you want? But to go back onto the topic of the food just being food, within my recipes ebook, I really kind of wanted to shine light on just that, cooking, being creative with your food. Why I eat the way I eat is because the way I feel, and I feel like I feel 75% good most of the time. The other, you know, the other 25%, it just depends yeah. on the external things that I come across in my life. You know, work's not perfect. I there's a lot of individuals probably going through work right now and fucking hate it, and it's cool. I'm excited to leave. I don't think anyone's going to be on this listening to it for as far as my work. So I don't really care, but like, I can't wait till I walk out those doors mm-hmm. because it doesn't align with what I want to do in my life anymore. And, right. but to the point where, you know, we have these stressors, we don't have these stressors like we did when we were, you know, foraging for food, farming, yada, 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 yada. But we have a choice now to whether right. we want to feel good or feel bad about what we're doing. And I don't necessarily feel bad, but I don't feel like I'm helping a goddamn person where I work. Mm-hmm. It sucks.
It's a different type of feeling that you're given.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And although I'm in a leadership position, I don't feel like a leader because I can't lead in what I want to lead in.
Right.
I have to lead in a product that I don't give two shits about.
It's a product you don't believe.
No. It's a corporation I don't believe about. Mm. And so it's really been kind of cool to think about leaving and getting to my own. And it, like, thinking about getting into my own,
mm-hmm.
I don't have a dollar figure.
Yeah.
I don't have, like, this, oh, cool, this pay stub's going to be this, or I'm going to make that. Like, I don't have that. It's just security. Wanting to get into what I want to get into without the fear of not being able to pay my bills, which you can always pay your bills. Like, you're going to find a way to make money. Oh, yeah. Like, that's just how it works. Right. Mm-hmm. But I have been dwindling down my bills to where I'm not going to stress as much. But it's exciting to get into what I want to get into.
Yeah.
So that's where more books are going to pop up. The podcast will always be podcasting. I love podcasting. And getting into health coaching for food, for helping individuals. I have a couple of friends who go to therapists and their therapists tell them not to count the macros. I'm like, okay, that's fine. Like, I don't count macros. That's cool. But is your therapist a nutritionist?
Yeah.
They're telling you that you probably shouldn't think food, but like food is food.
Yeah.
Just don't eat processed foods or sugars all the time.
Like, I think that's just do like doing your research of like, what is food to you and what does food do for you? Because then that's a huge difference of how, like how we mentioned, like how is it going to react? And I think we're in that state of mind and that the stage of our life right now where we've been told what to do and we follow.
Mm-hmm.
Right, we just follow and we're just like, oh, this person is telling me what to do, therefore I'm gonna do it.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than, well, I gotta do some research and understand, is this a benefit for me? And it goes down to getting to know yourself internally.
Yeah, well, that's where coaching stems from. You ask questions, you don't tell people what to do.
Exactly. Like,
that's just not what you're not qualified. One, you're a human being, you make mistakes. Mm-hmm. I mean like I said, I like to smoke weed, and sometimes that plays out in very different ways when I get munchies. Like, that's just what it is. But I try to search for some shit that I like, an apple or some celery, but sometimes it's
something
Triscuits.
Line.
Yeah, sometimes it is that way, but it's not all the time. But just not taking your life so it's damn serious. But with it, then the coaching, like, it is, you're self-exploring. You're asking, when you have a coach, a good one at that, they're asking you questions on that you should ask yourself. That leads to educating yourself, not being told what to do. Like, oh, cool, you're this weight, you're this height, this is how many macros, this is how much gram, 100 grams of protein, this is how many grams of carbohydrates, this is how many grams of fats, and we'll just kind of go from there. It's like, no, that's not doing anything for someone. And as far as like mental health, it's not going to do a goddamn thing. That's not going to help them learn. It's not going to help them discover what they want or what they need. And it's sure as hell not going to give them the array of foods that they might should be eating.
Yeah, and that's it. And that's the thing is specifically when I think of like a woman's body changes completely different than a men's body, right? Like, women lose weight differently than men do. Men build their body differently than women do. And I think
Science is real, people.
Exactly. Like, that's the thing that I also did wanted to point out for specifically, like, your DNA and your DNA and your genes, yes, they do play a part of it. But also you have the ability to change that environment internally with everything that you're processing, right? And like, I'm a woman, you're a man, and we have two different perspective about body image and self-image and how we see ourselves. And like, really kind of goes down to of what you eat, what, how you process, how you exercise, what really aligns with who you are. And more than anything is like, for me, every time I think about it is like, well, if I'm trying to be fit and like, have this amazing body, what am I doing to get there? Right? Like, is that going to align? Is it going to make any difference of what my purpose in life is?
Yeah.
Right? It goes down really to, it's like, am I doing this for others or am I doing it for myself? And I think with social media too, we just kind of link into the mind of, oh, I want to have that lifestyle. That's just a picture that you're seeing. You're only seeing what they want you to see, right? But behind, there is a different story. There's so much behind of everything that's going on, and it goes down to just like how you see yourself from different points of view and your point of view.
Well, and to say, like, to go off topic too much, but as far as like manifesting what you want, let's just say you want to live in the city because it's, you know, it's full of lively individuals and they're all hustling. That's great. And then as far as the things that you desire, you know, top rooftop apartment and yada yada yada, and it's very cool, but I believe you can create your own way in that. You don't have to be, you don't have to live somewhere to live that type of lifestyle. I feel like you can live anywhere. I mean, if you figure out that income for yourself, you can live anywhere and make it what you want it to be. If you want it to be lively, you can make it lively. If you want it to be solidarity, you can make it solidarity. That's something that I kind of came to grips with San Diego, and like, I can be around these individuals, but I don't have to be in this city to do it.
Right.
So that's something that helped me.
Well, and I think that also too is the moment that you start really clearing your mind in that path, you start bringing different type of people in your life.
Definitely.
You start opening more pathways for more energy to come in.
And you're not stuck in some box.
No, and I think that's what also gives you more of that open and more of, okay, I'm aligning. I want to be able to change my body style. I want to eat differently. Then you start kind of diving into that world, and all of a sudden this person that has the knowledge starts coming into your life, or I want to learn more about this, and all of a sudden this person comes into it, because that's the projection that you're creating internally. It's like a tiny little projector, right, that is going on inside, that is going and bringing in everything about. And that's the point that we need to take as human beings to really understand of what confidence is for us. That's going to make us feel better as who we are as human beings. And psychologically, the point of seeing it from detaching of, do I want the life that's going to make me happy, or do I want the life that I want everybody think that else is that I'm happy? Because those are two different paths, for sure.
Well said.
Well, thank you. Well, I really appreciate you having you here and like really coming down and talking about this topic. It's been so much fun. Like, really, yeah, thank
I'm
you,
honored.
Thank
I feel, you know, feel great off this podcast. I hope that there's a lot of things that people can resonate with and bring more happiness in their own lives.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I'll definitely send the link for you guys to listen to Also Living for Longevity. Such an amazing podcast. And you just started a new series, right?
Coffee with Jay.
There you go.
Short editions. I like the shorter podcast. Like, I feel like I can ramble forever, but if there's a time limit, like, kind of just have to say what I want to say.
It's like, I actually really like it. I like the one with you had in Sam, and it was like, oh, it's a really good one.
That
really
was that. By far my favorite thus far. So
yeah, she's sitting right next to us.
No, it was a fun
shout
podcast.
Out to her. But I'll definitely put in the link. I definitely throw in the link in there for ebook. I have your first ebook. I really like it. I like the berry smoothie. Is that what it's called?
Blueberry Yum
Blueberry Yum.
Not to mention that it's kind of named after a plant.
Yeah, that's what I was
or
like.
Or a strain of a plant.
When I read that, I was like, this is
Look,
my favorite.
Look, people know
one.
Me, they know me. I'm a huge advocate of marijuana, so sue
that's
me.
That's why I was like, this is my favorite one.
Hell yeah.
You can go into a whole different podcast about that too, specifically.
I'm down.
Like, seriously.
That's a good idea.
I've been reading more books into that aspect. In learning more about it, and it feels like
marijuana.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah.
Cool.
But not only that, I mean, obviously, like, I experience it, and I also have been able to understand it a little bit more farther too.
Yeah.
And there's some stuff out there.
Oh, there's a lot.
Some stuff out there that that's for a different podcast.
Yeah, sounds like that we can go another hour with that. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely, for sure. But it's definitely when you're ready to understand that knowledge. It's more knowledge opens up for you. And I think for me, that's what it was. It was like a slap in the face. I was like, oh, all right. Well, I'm ready for it. Thank you. Thank
Love
you.
It. Yeah.
So I'll definitely send you guys some information to connect with Jake. He's an awesome individual. Seriously, guys, he has some really good workouts on his Instagram. Check him out.
I appreciate it.
And are you doing also personal training? Are you like getting people to train with you?
Just locally. Yeah. Okay. If you want to do local, we can reach out. I'm hopefully open up my time here soon a lot more, so I can be able to do it a lot more just in general. So
yeah, I've seen some of your workouts, and I'm like, yeah, he doesn't think they're intense, but I'm like, yeah, I can see that. I've yet to try one myself, but
yeah. I gotta do more body weight stuff. I feel bad, not a lot of people have kettlebells, so
yeah, there you go. But I think that's it, that the image, that it's just a different type of workouts.
Yeah, if you just want to get into it, be something to follow. So yeah,
I do a lot of like body strength workouts. Like, I am not much of like same like sitting there and doing the weights and all that kind of stuff. I do cardio a lot differently, but that's what my body resonates the most with. It's just like, I can now actually hold the plank a lot longer than 5 seconds.
Yeah, there you go.
Shout out
60
to
minute planks over there.
Yeah,
there you go. Anyone, you gotta go check out that podcast to get that.
every morning and sit there and do a plank as soon as I wake up in the morning. Well, thank you so much again.
Thank you.
Been an awesome podcast. Stay tuned for more. I'm really excited to dive in a little more into, I'm doing some studies for school in the neuroscience program. So I'm definitely going to get more studies and bring them into the podcast. So stay tuned.
Dope.